Connection this morning brought to you by First Baptist Church and also by Tall Grass Motors. I get the opportunity to talk a little bit of history this morning with Joe Todd. Joe's still working, I guess, on a series of interviews we've been doing for, how long have you been interviewing veterans, Joe?
Well, for the Eisenhower Library since January of 2001.
Okay, so roughly a 16-plus year project, and you were just doing some interviews over the past couple of weeks, so it is a continuing project for you.
Continuing program.
We are looking at this morning that the events surrounding the Battle of Guadalcanal, and at least as I see it, an Allied victory, but a costly one.
Oh, it was a horrible cost.
Yeah.
We had stopped the Japanese at the Battle of the Coral Sea from invading Australia.
Okay.
And the Japanese are going to invade Australia from the north, from Guadalcanal.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to take Guadalcanal.
And you reminded me before we went on the air that many of the Australian troops were called to Europe because, in my words, not yours, the Queen says we need you over here to help defend Britain.
Yes.
So
Australia was mainly defenseless.
Yeah. And thankfully, our Navy and Marines were willing to lend a hand to defend an ally.
Yes.
Walk me up to it now. Historically, this was 42, right?
August of 1942 is when the battle started.
Okay. And the situation around there, the Japanese were, again, working to take Australia. And so they had a pretty superior military force because we were still trying to build things up.
Oh, yes. They had built an airfield, bringing in supplies for the invasion of Australia.
Yeah.
So we had to do something.
Okay. And so to quote a phrase from a popular song from, I don't know, whenever it was, 40s or 50s, send the Marines.
Yes.
you've talked with several naval personnel kind of setting up this battle for us. Who around the area have you talked to so far?
The first one is Bill McCrory.
Okay.
He's from Bartlesville.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the California Pearl Harbor to start off with.
Okay, so he'd been in it from the beginning.
Yes. And then he was assigned to the USS Astoria, and she went down to Guadalcanal, and the Navy was bombarding Guadalcanal before the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they bombarded for a week and all this, and they were trying to keep the Japanese ships away, keep the Japanese Air Force from coming in, landing, and all that. And then when the invasion started, he said the Marines on the Astoria were on the Higgins boats going ashore. And he was there helping them get on the Higgins boats and watch, look at their faces. And he said, all I saw was sheer terror. But the sad thing was, I saw these Higgins boats come back with the same Marines, either dead or wounded. Get them on board again. And then, he said, we took a torpedo midship.
Wow.
And it became a blazing inferno.
Yeah.
And he said, they said abandon ship. And I jumped off the ship, and my first thought was, all my buddies are there and all those Marines on there. And I watched the ship sink.
Yeah, it was not a hospital ship, so you couldn't hang a Red Cross on it.
No, no. And he said, I spent the night in the water and picked up the next morning by the Hunter Liggett.
You think, first of all, I got the impression after bombing or bombardment for a week from naval vessels, what in first place was left on that island?
Yes, yes.
And then the Japanese came right back with a huge attack.
Yes. Well, the Japanese had honeycombed the island with caves. And the bombardment started, they just retreated into the caves.
Okay. So just some natural protection. And
yes, yes.
Yeah. Water temperature, to spend the night in ocean temperatures, I don't care how South Pacific it was, that had to be cold water.
Yes. Well, of course, it's fairly tropical. It wasn't cold. It was, he said he was okay. He just didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, you never know. But still, to spend the night basically treading water, I don't care if you're hanging onto what, you're partly treading water.
Well, then Harold Johnson comes along.
Okay.
And he's on the Hunter Liggett. Now, he lives in Oklahoma City. And he said they were patrolling, they were bombarding too and everything, unloading Marines and all that. Then he watched the Astoria blow up, and he's one of the guys that helped rescue Bill McCrory.
Wow. Okay. So you got the story from both sides.
Yes.
That's great. So this was, how long was the battle overall? Was it it was between the bombardment, it was like a 3-week campaign, wasn't it?
Oh, it was longer than that.
Okay.
It was several months.
Okay.
Because it was a running battle on the island.
Okay, I could
And Gene Schindler lives in Sedan.
Yes.
Interviewed him, and he was on the USS Gwin. Again, was a troop carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they landed troops on Guadalcanal, and they would go back to their supply base at Espiritu Santo Island and bring supplies back to Guadalcanal. And he said, we had sunk so many Japanese ships, this area was called Iron Bottom Sound. Then the Japanese were landing troops by submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And their job was to patrol and keep the submarines away from Guadalcanal. And sure enough, the Gwin was hit by a torpedo. And he said, it hit the engine room, exploded, killed 61 crew members, broke the ship in half, and he jumped and watched his ship sink. And again, his thought was, all my buddies are dying.
Yeah.
And he said, my shipmates are dying and the Marines on Guadalcanal are dying. He said, we're losing our butt.
Yeah. It was not a situation that anybody would want to find themselves in at all. You know,
that's right.
But these men stepped forward and said, send me.
Yes, yes. Then John Cole lives in Oklahoma City. Again, he was in the Navy and he'd been on the Oklahoma at Pearl Harbor. Got off the Oklahoma, and he was assigned to the USS Helena. And, of course, they went down, bombarded Guadalcanal, and they were carrying troops, and the troops went ashore, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we had three cruisers together, and we had each had 15 six-inch guns. And all three cruisers were firing all guns, 8 rounds a minute from each gun. And Tokyo Rose said the Americans have a 3-inch machine gun on those ships. Said we were putting out so much firepower. And they said then they heard the Japanese fleet was heading down with the battleship Nagato with 16-inch guns.
Okay.
And he said our big fleet was not there.
No.
And the Japanese fleet came down. And they took a direct hit from the Nagato from a 16-inch gun.
But I mean, still think to be firing 8 rounds a minute, that's like one every 7 seconds.
Yes. From 15 guns on 3 ships.
That's some fast loading.
Yes, yes, yes. And he thought nothing on Guadalcanal could survive that.
Yeah.
And he said when they took that direct hit, but he said right before that, the Juno came down. And the Juno was famous for the 5 Sullivan brothers.
Right.
And it took a direct hit from the Nagato and totally exploded, killing the 5 Sullivans. And Carl George Schaefer from Bartlesville was on the Juno. And he was killed on the Juno.
Okay.
And he said he got in the water and he floated for 2 days until he was picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he went through the whole war, but he said his worst memory was Guadalcanal. He said that was the worst memory of the war he had.
It's just, to know that many men and vessels were basically expendable because in order to win the war.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Huff lives in Hominy.
Okay.
He was in the 2nd Marine Division. And he said they were on New Zealand, and they left New Zealand for Guadalcanal to stop the Japanese from invading Australia. And he said, we were told what we're going to do, defeat the Japanese at Guadalcanal and take the airfield.
Mm-hmm.
We need the airfield the Japanese built. And that was our main goal, was to take that airfield.
Okay.
And he said, I climbed down the Higgins boat carrying a BAR, Browning automatic rifle, got on land, and we set up our position. And there's little resistance when they landed. He said it was a cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
No resistance until the Japanese came out of the caves. And then he said we had to man our positions 24 hours a day. And he said we'd go out on patrol. And said, but we were outgunned and outmanned. And we didn't engage the Japanese. Because, like I said, they had more.
Sure.
Yeah. There were more of them. They had better ammunition and guns than we did.
And they had their supplies of food and drinking water hidden in those caves.
Yes. And he said, the Japanese had set up and they'd fire on us, and we're trying to find their positions, and the guy that was colorblind could see where the Japanese were firing from.
Okay.
We couldn't see, but the guy that's colorblind could.
Gee.
Because something in that jungle that he could see where they were firing, that's how they could locate the Japanese positions. And he said he learned real fast it's either kill or be killed.
Mm-hmm. And He survived.
He survived. And Bernie Weintraub lives in Bartlesville. And he was 37th Division U.S. Army. And he was on the Hunter Liggett.
Okay.
And got ashore from the Hunter Liggett. And he said they were first patrolling between Guadalcanal and Australia, you know, keeping from invading.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, climb down those ladders. And he said, this is it. We're going ashore. And he said, again, they landed with, it was a cakewalk, mm-hmm. very little resistance. And he said, but we're short on supplies. We had little ammunition. And he said the same thing. We went on patrol, but did not engage the Japanese. We couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
There were more of them than us. And he said, we'd set up our position, and the Japanese would fire on our positions at night.
Okay.
And we realized what they were doing. They're letting us set up our position, and then zeroed in that position, fired on us.
Mm-hmm.
So we set up our position, then moved to another position. And when they fired, we could see where they're firing from, and that's how we caught them. And he was on Guadalcanal 7 months.
Gee whiz.
And he said, I lost a lot of buddies there.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it was all jungle fighting. And he said, the big problem, they had a vine they called Wait a Minute Vines.
Okay.
And you would go through the jungle, and they would just wrap around you. And he said the Japanese would be in the worst part of those vines, and they brought up a 37-millimeter gun, cannon, with a canister like a big shotgun blast, and blow the vines away. And that's how they got rid of the Japanese and the vines.
Gee. Well, one way to do it if you don't have napalm, I guess.
Yep. And he said, but the best fighters they had were the natives.
Interesting.
Because the natives had come in, captured, killed many natives, and tortured a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And said the natives attacked the Japanese with machetes. And they were taking their revenge on the Japanese.
I'm going to say this was a revenge for
yes,
family.
Yes. And he said this is their island. They knew the island, so they could sneak around the Japanese. And he said they would come back. Each one would bring two or three Japanese heads. All that. He wow. said it was a gruesome sight, but he said it was in our favor.
Yeah, thank goodness for the natives. We'll yes. continue talking with Joe Todd as we review some of the interviews that he has conducted with the veterans of the Battle at Guadalcanal when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time this morning on a Community Connection, talking with Joe Todd and looking at the veterans that he interviewed and the stories that they told of the Battle of Guadalcanal. And boy, from the natives to getting your ship blown out from underneath you. Get some good stories.
Yes. Well, Don Bottlerack, he lived in Dewey.
Okay.
And we just lost him just a year or two ago. And he'd been at Pearl Harbor. And he said he landed in Guadalcanal. And he said when they got on Guadalcanal, set up their positions, and it was just one hill after another. Guadalcanal is the hilly, mountainous, and it's fighting one hill to the next hill.
Okay.
And he said, we couldn't do much until we got more supplies in. And he said, he was in a foxhole, and the Japanese did have their airplanes, and a bomb fell 10 feet from his foxhole, but didn't explode.
Gee.
If it exploded, he said, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And he said, I sat all night in my foxhole with that bomb next to me, waiting, is it going to go off? And he said that was probably the worst experience I had besides Pearl Harbor.
But knowing, I'm sitting here guessing at least, that if he left that foxhole, he would be for sure a target
yes,
as opposed
yes,
to a
yes,
possible target on yes. that bomb.
And they said they learned that the three or four Japanese had come out of caves to surrender. There'd be three or four Japanese with their hands up, and one guy would be in front. Then he'd squat down, but the guy behind him had a machine gun and open up on the Americans. And then they got orders down, take no prisoners. So when the Japanese came out with their hands up, they just mowed them down.
Yeah.
They said, we cannot take that chance.
Makes military sense.
Yes. But. And he said the Japanese would sneak up on them, so they stretched wire with a tin can with 10 cans and a rock in each tin can.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their alarm system.
Yeah.
And he said, I was in my foxhole, and I heard my rock rattle, so I was there. And we caught two Japanese trying to sneak up on us.
Gee.
And they were done away with real quick.
I'm sure. Yeah. Defend your position.
Yes, yes.
Who else did you talk to?
James Horner from Bartlesville.
Okay.
2nd Marine Division. He had a flamethrower. Landed on Guadalcanal. They were on the ship, and when the ramp went down, they were on a sandbar.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got in the water, they were in 15 feet of water. And a lot of those men drowned from all the equipment they were carrying.
Yeah, that's not light equipment.
Yes. The only reason he survived, he had a tank on his back that floated from the flamethrower. That's how he got ashore.
Yeah.
And he said, my job was to clear caves with that flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we were trying to get the Japanese to surrender. We had interpreters trying to get the Japanese out. And when they wouldn't come out, it was my job to open up with them. He said, the first time I used that flamethrower, I got physically sick because I realized what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I got over that real fast.
Yeah.
And he said, my job was just clearing caves with that flamethrower, and I have no idea how many Japanese I killed in caves.
No, you would have no way of knowing.
Yeah, yeah. Then Jack Dornan lives in Euless, Texas. He was a Marine Raider.
Okay.
Now, the Marine Raider are like the Navy SEALs today.
Yeah, yeah. It's a highly trained, highly specified job.
Yes. He said they travel light, they could use any weapon, work behind enemy lines, and he said, we move fast, destroy the enemy, and get the hell out. That was their mission.
Good job description.
Yeah. And he said the same thing. They landed with little resistance. And when the fighting started, they were on constant patrol behind enemy lines. And he said, we are terrorists against the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And he said, we kill lots of them. And he said, then it came down to just the clearing caves. And he said, that's when the flamethrowers came in.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Japanese refused to surrender because they would die for the emperor.
Right.
They had orders not to surrender. They were going to die for the emperor. And he said on Guadalcanal, he also learned it was kill or be killed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've interpreted from a lot of these.
Yes.
Got time for one more.
Okay. Oh, probably... Oh, Charles Grogan.
Okay.
From Bartlesville.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still living. He lives at Green Country.
Okay.
He was 77th Seabees, and he landed after the battle. And he said when he landed, all he saw were dead Japanese. This was the last stand of the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his job was to just dig graves and bury the Japanese in mass graves.
Mm-hmm.
And he said before they got there, they could smell death. And he said, we just dug these mass graves and buried the dead Japanese. And he said, I still see those Japanese every day.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just do burial detail.
Yes.
For weeks, I'm sure.
Yes.
The interviews, you're archiving these for the Eisenhower Museum.
Yes, they go on file at the Eisenhower Library, which is part of the National Archives. It's the Dwight D. Eisenhower Presidential Library,
mm-hmm.
part of the National Archives.
Okay.
They go on file up there for future generations researching World War II.
Boy, thank you so much for all the time you've given to this project. Joe, that's a Community Connection this morning. Let's join news from the Oklahoma News Network.
Arrested the mother and the grandmother of those three girls who went missing last month and related.